Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome to the Driving More Show. Hi, I'm Paul. I'll be your host this evening. It looks like I'm being a solo show as well. I'm not sure how long it will go on for, to be honest, because I'm on my own, so we'll see how long I can talk for without getting a sore throat, amongst other things. What are we going to talk about? Well, we've got this long-term update on Super Rugby. We've got some news around women's rugby as well and what New Zealand Rugby wants to do. We've got some coaching changes and some Sevens news as well. So lots and lots of kind of structurally in this off-season rather than necessarily kind of fun and game stuff. There is some stuff there that I'm probably going to miss out, as you can tell. I'm not in my my usual setup, this period in the run-up to Christmas is a very busy period for me. I make wooden toy stables and farm buildings is one of the things I do, and the title of Kia Play, and they are very much Christmas present style toys, and which means that this is the busiest time of year for me. And pretty much all the sales happen in this sort of October, November, December kind of window. And then it goes quiet for the rest of the year. So that's why I'm busy. And that's why I'm not where I am normally, because I'm at the production place making these wooden toys. And why I've not watched or kept up to speed with rugby as much as I would have liked to done, to be honest. But some of the news, we have got a long-term agreement between New Zealand Rugby and Rugby Australia around Super Rugby through to 2030, which is good news. It gives us some, or it gives the tournament some certainty, which gives us all some certainty, the fact that it is going to go ahead. I think we all knew it kind of would do in some sort of form. Yes, there was some brinkmanship. Yes, there was some suggestions, oh, we could go it alone, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, both New Zealand and Australia need each other, being at this side of the world and basically away from all of the other major rugby nations. South Africa is in the time zone of Europe, and Argentina, well, they're stuck again on their own over in America's time zone with the USA and Canada, you could say. But look, neither of those two made it to the Rugby World Cup. And so you've got your emerging nations in Uruguay and Chile who have done well. Also, you've got Brazil, who have also been involved in the America's Nations Cup previously. They're growing, but it's a bit of a sort of influx, a time zone. But in this one, sure, there is Japan as well. And I guess that's my one disappointment from this, was that there was no news around involving Japan, or two disappointments. One was the fact they wasn't going to involve Japan. And the second is that there seems to be no representation on the new administration board for the Pacific Islands. Sure, you've got the Fiji and Drua and you've got the Moana Pacifica, but neither of them have a say on the in that board. In the board, there was representation from New Zealand Rugby and also from I have just come and Rugby Australia, as well as the New Zealand Rugby Players Association, and I think it was the International Rugby Players Association representing the New Zealand, the Australian players. But nothing there about from the either of the two Pacific players representative associations, or from either of those teams, or from their what do you call it, from their unions involved in that at all. So it would have been good from a Super Rugby point of view to have a representation on that board from the Pacific nations. I do believe if you're going to be involving them, since you are involving them as teams, so whether that just be one person from the Oceania group or something like that, may have been the way to do it. And so I mentioned here that Japan is in the new competition for the Asia Pacific Rugby Americas Championship, but I'm talking more about the sort of club level rather than the international level. But whilst we have got certainty around until 2030 that they will keep this a tournament going, what they and we're going to keep the winner start with the current structure, which is good. What they have left open is that they will allow it to evolve, which I think is a good thing to say. Look, we can change it. We're not locking ourselves into a model for the rest of this entire 7 years, because who knows where we're going to be in 3-4 years' time. So it's good to see that's there. There's also talk of including the of looking at growing women's game as well, and trying to see about, because also got Super Rugby Aupaki with four teams here in New Zealand and Super Rugby W with six teams in Australia, and about how some sort of cross-border competition there, but nothing has been announced yet. One of the problems I've got with this is that the person talking to all the women's rugby has been Stuart Lancaster, who's head of the Professional Rugby Board, blah, blah, blah. We haven't heard anything from maybe I just missed it, from the head of women's rugby in New Zealand Rugby about this kind of stuff. So he seems to have disappeared and doesn't seem to be getting a voice, which is really disconcerting around that kind of thing. And when you New Zealand Rugby, oh yeah, now we've got our women's rugby as a focus of us, blah, 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 blah. And then actually the head of women's rugby, yeah, doesn't have a place on the board and we're not hearing from her. You kind of, it's difficult to see that New Zealand Rugby really does have that focus. It seems to be more talk than action, let's be honest. Simon points out the Japanese club competition starts next week. Yeah, and the whole debacle around Sunwolves showed that Super Rugby had an opportunity to bring Japan in, and they let it go, and now it's too late, let's be honest. But there is still the possibility of some sort of a bit like the European Champions Cup, some sort of Asia Champions Cup competition is still a possibility, and we'll have to see what happens there. Not a great fan of adding more games in, to be honest with you. I think the balance of games in the Southern Hemisphere is correct, whereas in the Northern Hemisphere, or in Europe particularly, there are just too many games in a season, and it's a disjointed season. We're jumping between competitions, you've got internationals overlapping with club games, and it's all just a mess. Because at least down here in the Southern Hemisphere, in Southern Hemisphere anymore, is it? In the USA, Australia, New Zealand, and Japan to a certain degree, there's more clarity where you have got, as he says, someone says, the Japanese club competition starts next week, so that's December through till sort of June. Whereas you've got the USA and was Major League Rugby and Super, and so USA Canada, and then with Super Rugby going somewhere, was it February or March? February through till June, and then it's basically 6 months of club rugby, and then you have 6 months of international rugby from July onwards through to November. So it's a very clean season, and I can just see a European Champions Cup just muddying that at the moment. So that will need to change on that. side of things. And ZMRB has talked about wanting to bring the W15 competition down to New Zealand after the success of the Women's Rugby World Cup. Currently, that was envisaged as being played in Europe in that November window. And we'll just have to see whether that eventuates in that side of things. But again, New Zealand rugby looking at or concentrating on the international game, whilst not necessarily, I don't think, getting the grassroots and getting the foundations of the pyramid in place. If you look at Thames Valley, where I am, there's our club, for example, has got two men's teams, but yet there's one women's team for the whole valley. I think it is. So whereas you've got, I think it's 8 or 9 clubs in the valley, plus and they have A's and B's teams. So there's lots of teams. So I think there's a lot of work still to be done at that foundation level for the women's rugby here in New Zealand. I'm sure New Zealand will say they're doing it, but I'll be honest with you, I don't see enough action in that space. When you look at Super Rugby Aupaki only being, 5 weeks long, 3 rounds of regular season and a semi-final and final. Again, that's not a real season for developing players for international rugby. There's a lot of work still to be done at this level, to my mind, before New Zealand rugby starts sort of shooting for international competitions in this country, is the kind of way that I would see it. That's my opinion. There we go. And the other problem we have with women's rugby is that we just seem to be trying to recreate or copy the men's game on the whole. The one thing that they, where they are, where they have got is this, is the fact that they have this women's or W15 or WXB, where essentially the best teams, the top three from the Six Nations, top three from the Pac Four, go off into a competition, and the bottom sides have a separate competition with some tier two nations. Is, I think, naturally having a structure to the international season is good. But over in Europe, you've still got the French and English, and also the Irish and other the country club competitions happening at the same time, Six Nations, and that overlap. And it also is a bit of a mess. We are just recreating what is a broken men's game for the women, which does seem to be a silly way of doing it if you're starting from scratch, which is pretty much where we have been starting from on that one. So, yes, so long term, great for the fact we've got something from Super Rugby, the fact that it's now out of Sanzar's umbrella is also a big thing as well. But it does, you do kind of, yeah, what is Sanzar's role anymore? And how does that all fit in? So it does, what am I going to say? It's a bit of a problem there. A bit of interest there as to kind of who's controlling what. And obviously Sanzar's controlling every championship. Is that basically all they control now? Pretty much by the sounds of it. A bit like this, I guess the Six Nations committee that just looks after the Six Nations. Simon says he actually likes the European Champions starting in December, gives domestic leagues time to start off after the international calendar. Yeah, look, it's just in Europe you're jumping between different competitions, stopping for internationals. Some of them do, like the URC has started to do, and it all just becomes a bit of a mess, in all honesty, up there. Whereas I say, 6 months of club, 6 months of international, split the year in half, is a much cleaner way of doing it. And yes, Super Rugby Aupaki, as Simon Hughes says, they get W15 competition to play at home and away. Yeah, they get but how many games and how much money is there for the internationals, and how many games of international rugby do you want to have? Do we want to grow it too much, like we have already done with the men's, or do we want to try and keep it a scarcity, where people actually want to see the games and want to get to them, and have more quality games rather than having just lots of games but have fewer games of better quality? It's kind of the way I think you want to go with women's game if you can. As I say, already in Europe it does look like that cat is out, that horse has bolted, unfortunately. So that's those sort of things. Actually, keeping on that kind of same theme, the new Sevens World Series reimagined according to World Rugby to have just seven rounds in seven iconic global locations, apparently, across 7 months. So what do the players do for the other 5 months of the year? If you're expecting Sevens to be a full-time job, then taking 5 months off.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Is that really a viable off-season here? All the rounds will be combined men's and women's. And again, with the men's reducing number of teams from 16 to 12, is that really growing the game if you're taking out, making less teams? And you've got teams, countries like Kenya, for example, massive in the sevens, but not in the 15s. And you're reducing those kind of opportunities, which I think is, again, a backward step. Do we have to have the women's tours at the... Yes, the women's tour needed more stops. But should they be... Do they all have to be combined stops? Can't we... what we're going to end up with is the places that had women's only stops are now going to lose their tournament when you've been growing the game there. So is that really actually a good thing? Not a big fan of what World Rugby is doing with this one. By the sounds of it, it sounds like the New Zealand Sevens weekend will disappear. And yes, if you're going to be competing against Sydney and Australia, they've got a much bigger market financially. And so that would be a better place for it to go. So the whole thing of it, I'm not a fan of this, of shrinking a game when you're trying to grow it. To me, that doesn't seem... the way for it, but there you go. I don't think, and you're going to say, well, Paul, you just told us that we're overcrowded on the 15 side. They yes, but I don't think the sevens thing has been overcrowded in the same kind of way. Do we really are there the same player welfare issues on the sevens side that there is on the on the 15s, I don't know. So to me, it's I'm not sure where World Rugby is trying to take sevens. Is this actually growing the sport? I'm not sure it is, to be honest with you. Hey, at least they're doing something, and they are going to have parity between the men's and the women's side of things. I would have preferred them just to grow the women's side rather than necessarily try to have to, oh, you have, all events have to be combined. Some of them can be combined and some of them can be separate. I don't see the problems with that one. Christopher Bailey says, yeah, a lot of it seems like cost cutting. Yeah, and with the growth of the women's 15s, historically, let's be honest, on the men's side of the game, 15s is the premier sport and sevens is very much the secondary sport or where some, basically in development, environment, whereas for everyone apart from Fiji, whereas the in the women's side, the sevens has been the premier sport and 15s has been the secondary sport. With the growth of 15s and the and with professional leagues, professional league in England, semi-professional in France, and the professionalization of it here in New Zealand as well, are we seeing that 15s is going to become the premier sport and sevens a development piece in a similar way that it is in the men's game. Again, is it necessarily good for the women's game just to copy the men's? I'm not convinced that it is, to be honest. So yeah, confused as to what are we trying to do with sevens, but maybe they are, as Christopher Bailey says, they're just trying to cut costs and make it a development piece rather than a standalone sport that can sort of have its own financially stand on its own 2 feet, have its own superstars, have its own tour, have its own fans in a different way to the men's one there in that one. Looking then at coaching side of things, which has been kind of a big news recently. Wayne Pivac has obviously been replaced by Warren Gatland, I think this is the only situation where it's probably going to work or could work. Warren Gatland, in his director of rugby role with the Chiefs, basically had been taking a second string to Clayton McMillan, who took over on that one, and so he wasn't in the primary role that he was hired for. Hence, I'm pretty sure that New Zealand Rugby and the Chiefs were quite happy get his salary off the books, because whilst he is obviously adding value, is he adding as much value as he was costing with him not actually being in being in that kind of head coach role. So I think that's probably why he's been released for us. Obviously, he goes back into Welsh rugby with a vast amount of knowledge about the setup, about the players. Sure, he's been out for a few years, but there are still a whole bunch of players there that he still knows and he would have known, keeping tabs on as they were being developed. So he can pretty much step in and be up and running straight away. Whereas you look at if Eddie Jones is replaced with basically, I think it's somewhere it was 9 games until the Rugby World Cup. It does not give his replacement much of a chance in that situation. So Scott Robinson, Razor, you got to say he would find it tough walking in to that situation because he doesn't know the players, doesn't know the structures. Where Nogara are pretty similar. Now he's a bit closer, having coached in Europe, and so will have come up against some of the players with during the Heineken Cup, etc. But the only one that looks like could possibly work there is Steve Borthwick, obviously ex-forwards coach for England. So he does know the setup, head coach at Leicester Tigers, so does know the players. So he's got an idea as to how things work. Has international experience also with Japan under Eddie Jones. So he's done all his international experiences with Eddie Jones. Will he actually want to step in and replace Eddie Jones at this stage? What's their relationship like? Or will it be purely business and the personal side isn't part of it? Who knows? We'll have to wait and see on that one. But Steve Borthwick, again, looks like, of the three names that have been mentioned, the only one to me that would be viable in the fact that he has the experience of the setup and the experience of the players as well. Christopher Bayes has been with Eddie Jones would be a huge mistake. I think this close to the World Cup, you've got to stick with what you've got. I know there's been talk also Dave Rennie being replaced at the Wallabies. Now, look, he did enough to cut that kind of talk, getting that last win over Wales with a much reduced squad. But still, lots and lots of injuries, lots of end-of-year discussions for them and reviews for them to have in Australia as well. So I think you've got to go through to the World Cup. The Wayne Pivac one, I say that's the only situation where it can kind of work on this one. To me, I think that I can see why Welsh Rugby has done it. I don't think anyone else should really do it. If England do it, then Borthwick is the only person. If Australia was to do it, I can't see who has international experience, knows the setup, knows the players that could step in and replace Dave Rennie. So I think it'd be a very big mistake for the Wallabies to do that with Checker already with Argentina. He's not available to come back, and he would be perhaps the only option there to do so. So yes, that to me is the it's kind of where I am with this sort of stuff. Is it actually good for men's rugby to have this such a focus on the Rugby World Cup on one year, on one tournament every 4 years, or should there be, or should it be more kind of nuanced and sort of and not make it quite such a strict and the hard 4 year cycle? I'm not sure. Obviously, the World Rugby World Cup, the Women's World Cup, does bring in a lot of extra eyeballs, a lot of focus that you wouldn't get otherwise. So I can understand why it is the big shop window. It also does fund most of international rugby as well, from outside of the Rugby Championship and the Six Nations. At least it's what it's World Rugby's main money earner, and for them to grow the sport. So yeah, it'll be I'm a bit kind of in two camps there on that one. And Ian Foster, another one that has been kind of in that sort of situation in the kind of review stage. And if you think about that, maybe Wayne Smith would be up, probably about the only person you'd want to step in to do that, because again, he's got the international experience and has some knowledge of the players, but he has been away in Japan for a long time. Razor, it's unfair giving him the that kind of role now. Just less than a year out from a Rugby World Cup. You'd have to give him a 5-year contract and say he was definitely in there for a Rugby World Cup cycle if you were going to do that. So again, Ian Foster, it was always going to go through, and there was no way he was going to get knocked out, replaced this close to a Rugby World Cup on that one. Someone says the World Rugby that you should be doing, question getting Rugby Pass, turn it into a proper streaming service, rematches where they don't have broadcasting rights. Yeah, look, World Rugby buying Rugby Pass from Sky, and part of Sky getting access to, or getting the rights to, the next round of Rugby World Cup, World Rugby events, obviously men's and women's Rugby World Cups, as well as the Pac Four and the Sevens stuff as well, or Sevens World Cups as well. It's a strain. The way that Rugby Pass works and behaves online, it's not a great look for them to be. It's not a great look for them to be doing the kind of memes and stuff and stories they're doing when they're owned by World Rugby. Dragging the game into disrepute, you could suggest, by some of the stuff that they post and some of the stuff they write. I'm not a big fan of. I think what Rugby Pass did as a streaming service and getting games available to places that didn't have rugby rights was fantastic. I think their writing and editorial stuff has left a lot to be desired, in my opinion. But there you go. It has provided some a gateway for some writers to get their careers going, and that's fantastic for them, and well done to them for doing that. But I'm not a great fan of some of the stuff that they do, and some of the podcasts also they've been involved with as well. The Chris Roberts is, at least they're independent and not just a mouthpiece. I think the way that Rugby Australia did it with their media piece worked well. You saw the independents and they asked questions, they didn't denigrate and go and become a clickbait kind of place that Rugby Pass is. Chris Oberst said, it's been great living in Asia to watch rugby. And look, but most of it's moved to be in all Premier Sports. Okay, not living in Asia anymore. I wasn't aware of that. But look, I think Rugby Pass did do a great thing on the streaming side, let's say, but not on the not on the editorial and news side of things. So there you go, folks. Just a quick one this week, an explanation as to why kind of I missed last week and why this perhaps has been a quick one, and that I'm not as focused on rugby at the moment because of the whole Christmas shopping thing and making wooden toys. So thank you everyone for sticking with me. Normal service will resume in the new year, but I will still try and then get on and talk about the hot topics every Tuesday at 8 p.m. If I can, and I hope you're all staying well and I hope you're all preparing for a very fun and enjoyable Christmas.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.